Hey everyone, this is Steve Donahue with another episode of the Legacy Podcast, helping you build a multi-generational legacy of abundance. This episode is number 76, and what we're going to talk about today is material capital. I'm continuing with the series on the eight different kinds of capital, and this one is on material capital. I'll explain what that is in just a moment. Before we do that, I want to take care of some of the introductory business. First of all, make sure that you are registered as a user on the website. That enables you to get the updates to the website when new podcasts come out or blog posts or videos or anything like that. You'll be notified through email, and so you don't have to keep checking back. And second thing is make sure that you're also registered with or that you are subscribing to the podcast through the various means like iTunes or Sketcher or something like that. What that does is it allows the show to actually be higher ranking in iTunes. Right now we made it to the first page when you search under Legacy, but I'd like it to be even higher on that first page. So those of you that can help out by subscribing through iTunes or something like that, that'd be greatly appreciated. And then also be sure you're telling us or telling about us to your friends and family by the various social media, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, all those kinds of things. You can like us on those and then, of course, share us to friends and family. That way we can get the word out to more people, and always looking to grow the audience. And then third thing is I would encourage you to take a look at our various affiliates on the webpage. Today's affiliate focus is Vision Forum. And Vision Forum is a great ministry and business that is designed around trying to build families and strengthen families and the church by providing good discipleship material and good leadership material and books on parenting and family, even good toys for the kids, that kind of thing. So check out Vision Forum. Right now, I believe they have up to 75% off on select items. So there's a huge sale right now. So you can access all of our affiliates on the center right column of the website. And if you link on it through the website, then of course you'll be able to help support the show if you purchase anything through them. And so I appreciate that. And then finally, if you like the Legacy Podcast and you want to support the show, I encourage you to do that by becoming a Legacy Partner. Our Legacy Partner program is $30 a year. With that, you have exclusive access to our members-only page, which has discounts to various vendors, has some ebooks, some other information you can download and use, and there's over $50 worth of value. Plus, you're able to support the show at less than 25 cents an episode, so I encourage you to do that. So that takes care of the introductory business. Now let me just say that the information, if you didn't listen to last podcast, the information on where I'm getting this material for the various kinds of capital, the eight kinds of capital, comes from an article written by Ethan C. Rowland of Appleseed Permaculture. And again, I'll put a link in the show notes to the original article, and I encourage you to read it and to give credit where credit is due. So I did not originate these, although some of my explanations and examples and things like that obviously comes from me and not from him. And so I do encourage you, though, to check that out over at Appleseed Permaculture and link on there. So what I want to do first is just kind of list the different source or different kinds of capital that we're going to talk about. Last week, of course, or last episode, we talked about social capital. And today we're going to talk about material capital. In future shows, we're going to talk about financial capital, living capital, intellectual capital, experiential or human capital, spiritual capital, and cultural capital. So those are the eight forms, and we're going to look at each one each time. And so today we're on material capital. What is material capital? Material capital is non-living physical objects. It's what we might call personal property, or in other cases, sometimes it can include some kinds of commodities, although we'll look at other commodities under living capital. But it is non-living physical objects. And so what are some examples of material capital? Well, raw materials that form the basic materials from which products are made would all be considered material capital. So that would mean like timberland. It would mean rocks and minerals, whether it be iron or oil or coal or anything like that you might have the possession of or that might be on your properties and you might have access to. And then precious metals, although we'll cover many of the precious metals under financial capital, I think it's also important to somewhat touch on them here because they are a type of mineral, type of rock, and they should also be considered in part as a material capital. And then there's also the developed material, the raw material that has then been manufactured or built into something that can then be used. This would oftentimes where a personal property would come into hand. So that would be like machineries, whether it be like household appliances. You know, we have all kinds of appliances today that people didn't used to have hundreds of years ago, washers, dryers, dishwashers. We've been really busy this week and the dishes have piled up in our house and we came home today and they were just all over. I feel bad for my wife. I'm trying to help her since I finish up with this, but, the dishwasher has been full and, we still have dishes galore to do. And, we've got the resources through the dishwasher to be able to wash them, and yet it still is troublesome to get it all done. So there's household appliances. We have all different kinds of access to these today. And, you know, it used to be sometimes we joke among some of my friends about the, the wives wanting to have servants in the home. And how, it would be great to live back in biblical days where they had servants, or even back, in colonial times where they had servants, or, something like that. But then you think about it, and all of the activities, or many of the activities that used to be done by servants are now done by machinery. And so there is a great deal of capital that is involved with that. And so machinery can be one. And then if you go outside the house, of course, there's all kinds of machinery. Tractors would be a perfect example of a type of material capital. If you live on a farm, having a tractor is a great asset, a great resource that can be used. And if you don't live on a farm, you have other machinery as well that can be used. Of course, our vehicles are a type of machinery, a type of material good, a type of material capital. Cars, trucks, ATVs, boats, those would all be considered material capital. And then we also have electronics. You got computers, and just about every home, of course, has at least one computer. And we all have, or most of us have smartphones now. You know, it's amazing what can be done through iPhones. I've got an iPhone. I'm recording this podcast through the iPhone. I check a lot of my mail through iPhones. I check the markets with my iPhone. I check I get all the emails and texts and things like that through iPhone, and there's all kinds of applications that you can use, and it's just amazing the kind of resources that are available to us through that. And that would all be considered material capital. And many of the electronics today are very, very inexpensive compared to the value that are found in them. We have to be careful that we don't depend upon them too much, but nevertheless, it is such a great resource that going without it is a real challenge, at least for me anyway. So those would be types of developed material that would also be considered capital material. In addition to that, of course, personal or buildings, personal residence would be one, rental properties, outbuildings, garages, barns. All of those are material capital that can be used or accessed or valued in some way in the market, and should be considered part of your capital. Even, if you live on a farm or a small farm, mini farm, homestead, whatever it might be, and you've got fencing would also be considered capital. It's capital improvement. Often in business, we use that term capital investment or capital improvement. That usually means an infrastructure improvement. And that's really what fencing is. It's an infrastructure. So in addition to all of these things, infrastructures, roadways, paths, wells, septic tanks, dams, earthworks, all of that would be included in material capital. So you can see this is a huge term. It's basically a catch-all for any other kind of property other than financial capital and living capital, which we'll get to in other episodes. So, this includes a lot. It would also include things like jewelry and and keepsakes and guns. Some of you have guns collections and things like that. Those are all material goods. And you can use material goods to create other goods. And that's one of the beautiful things about all of these different kinds of capital is that you can exchange them for other forms of capital, or you can use them and build upon them to actually increase capital in other areas. You can barter them. All of these are ways in which capital can be accrued. So why is it important then to have material capital? Well, it's in difficult times, as I see happening in the future, I think that the importance of having material capital will rise beyond that of financial capital or other assets. If you talk to most people today, of course, they'll tell you that, you know, you want to be able to be putting so much money away into stock market and mutual funds and all these kinds of things and investing for the future. And yet they are neglecting some of the most important aspects of capital, which would be material capital. What good is it to have money if that money won't be able to buy anything? Or what good is it if you have money but not to have the resources because they are scarce or something like that, don't have the power to import them, and our manufacturing plants have gone overseas or whatever it might be? And so it's really important to be able to have these raw materials and manufactured materials that would be able to provide you with things in times of need. Obviously, the more material capital that you have, the greater one's wealth, with all else being equal. I mean, obviously, if you've got a lot of material capital and somebody else has got a lot of living capital, but very little material capital, or vice versa, they all weigh themselves out. But all things being equal, obviously, the more material capital that you have, the more actual wealth that you have. Now, some material capital on a spreadsheet actually depreciates and goes down in value. Cars, ATVs, boats, all those kinds of things, they go down in value. Same with computers. They can be schedulally depreciated, that kind of thing. But when it comes to the actual capital that is in that item, it depends upon the use. And sometimes, even though it might be depreciated to where it is no longer valuable on a monetary standpoint, it's still very, very valuable in the production side or in the aspect of resources or renewing things or building things, something like that. So material capital can be used to produce more capital of other kinds. Now, this is really important to focus on. So, for example, if you have tools such as saws and hammers and drills, those would all be considered material capital. And you can use those material capital, those items that you have, tools, by, you know, mixing together some knowledge capital, which we'll talk about in a future episode. And by mixing those two things, that knowledge capital and the material capital, you can then produce other capital goods. You can produce other buildings, so to speak. So, you take, for example, my house. When I built my house, I took the knowledge that I had of other people. So I had social capital that I used by rallying around me some people who knew what they are doing, and used their knowledge and that knowledge capital then applied with some of the tools that I purchased and I borrowed and things like that. That was then applied together with that. And then the material capital that I purchased combined together increased exponentially when I actually had the finished product of a building. And that's the way a lot of these work, is that they don't just work outside of themselves or exclusively by themselves, but rather they work interactively with some of the other capital that you might have to produce more capital or decrease capital. Material capital can be exchanged for other kinds of capital. So, for example, wood can be harvested and sold for cash, which would bring in financial capital. Land and buildings can be rented for cash, which, of course, would then bring in financial capital as well. And so, you know, material capital can be very beneficial because, you know, it's an important commodity. It's an important aspect of goods when economic times become difficult, and because it is a measure of wealth. And so obviously the more that you have, the more wealth that you can have. And then also it can produce other kinds of capital from applying it in certain circumstances. So how do we acquire more material capital? Well, there's really only a few ways that I know of that you can acquire. One would be by barter. And this is, I believe, also as the economy begins to take a nosedive and even before corrective measures are made, there's going to be an exceeding amount of people who are using barter as a means of exchange. And I'm going to be bringing a future episode, probably in the near future, regarding the networks that are available for barter even today and some of the ways in which that is taking place. But for now, just know that barter is a great means by which you can receive more material capital. So if you're capable of providing knowledge, for example, to someone who then exchange is willing to give you maybe their ATV, for example, there has been a valuable exchange through barter. And you took a surplus of something that you had and exchanged it for a surplus that someone else had, and that by doing that, you were both able to grow in capital. And that's one of the beautiful things about this, that there's really no limit. As long as you are supplying what somebody else needs, and then you are getting what you yourself need, there is actually a win-win in both situations. And that's really what is designed to achieve. And so there's barter. Another way is by borrowing. I mentioned earlier in building my house, I used a lot of different tools and a lot of different knowledge of other people. Many of those tools I borrowed from others, where they would come over and help on the site and they say, oh, well, you can use this until you're done with this segment of the job or whatever it might be. And I had some dear friends that were, lent me some of their equipment for the whole procedure of building my house. And so you can borrow material goods. Now, obviously, this is not going to be good if you borrow some material that then becomes a part of your actual material. So obviously I couldn't borrow the 2x4s to be built into my house, because then that would become part of my possessions. But certainly the tools that were outside of that, they could be used and borrowed by other people. And I think sometimes this is one of the areas in which Christians tend to lack, is that we think we need to buy everything ourselves, when we have churches full of people who have the resources that we might need that we can borrow from. And because of pride or some other issue, we're hesitant to ask for those things. And so we end up spending our own money on something that someone else has sitting around in their garage or in their yard. And so borrowing is another great way to increase your material capital on a temporary basis that then can achieve a more permanent structure that will benefit you in the future. Now, a third way that you can acquire some material capital is by buying it. As I mentioned earlier, I had to buy 2x4s in the building of the house and that kind of thing. And so we have to buy goods when we do not have them to borrow or receive from barter. And really, buying is a form of barter. It is just exchanging financial capital for material capital in this case. And so buying is another way. A fourth way is by building. In other words, let's say that you have the knowledge to be able to build a car from scratch, and so you're able to maybe get some junk vehicles and get some tools that you got and some other items that are necessary for the building of the car, and so you're able to build it together or repair things and build it. Or if you look at the house, you can take knowledge and the resources that you have, material resources, and you can then build something from that using the various means and various sources of capital that you have that will increase capital in another area. And so you get the finished product, which is the house built or the car built or something like that. And that is another way, is by building material capital, by synthesizing really two other forms of capital. Or two or more other forms of capital. And then another way would be to discover capital. Now, who knows what you can discover on your own property in terms of natural resources and material capital? Assuming you have property of your own, you never know what's underneath that property. I just acquired from my mother. I didn't realize this, that she even had some of this. She had mentioned it a few times, but I just dismissed it as fanciful thinking or something like that. But she had some mineral rights to the mineral under the ground in parts of Montana. Well, if you've been keeping track of anything in the news, of course, there's a huge shale oil exploration going on in that region of the U.S. and North Dakota and Montana, Wyoming, South Dakota, that's all being explored heavily for the minerals found on the ground. And we happen to have now, as a result of receiving through my mom's will, these mineral rights. And, you know, if you had, by accident, not really even thinking, purchase some land in that area, and now you have, you know, 100 acres or so, and someone realizes that there's a potential for gas or oil or whatever it is, and they explore and find out that there is some, it could be a Beverly Hillbillies all over again. Beverly Hillbillies all over again. My son's really getting at that, so he's got that in my mind. And so there's a great deal of assets there, so you can discover it. Now, I know that most of us are probably not going to discover some great material capital, but nonetheless, that is a means by which some people have done it. And even while I speak, there are exploration companies all over the world that are working at trying to discover new sources of oil, new sources of gas and coal, all these kinds of things. And so discovery is another way. So I want to kind of bring it together by just asking ourselves, what can we do in order to increase this kind of capital now? What should we do to make the most of acquiring and keeping and using for our good this material capital? Well, first of all, take inventory of your material capital. Now, you should probably already have an inventory list of what you have in your house. If not, then it'd be a good thing to do. The best way I know of doing that is taking your phone and taking pictures with it. Sometimes you even have a video that you can use if you've got a smartphone or something like that. Take a video of each of your rooms as you walk through, explaining what everything is and explaining where it is and all that. And then file that away somewhere so that it can be available to you. And that gives you a kind of an oral or visual idea of what you have in terms of material goods. But there are things that aren't necessarily covered by a video camera walkthrough in the house, and you need to sit down and look at all those things. Look at the list of material goods that I spoke about earlier, and then identify what on those lists of things that you have and to what level. And then second thing is determine alternative sources for material capital. As I mentioned earlier, sometimes we have friends, sometimes we have neighbors that have some of the resources that we need, and we don't necessarily need to go out and buy them. We just need to make good friends with our neighbors so that if a need arose, we could actually use them. And so neighbors is a way. Also, networks. There are all kinds of networks that you can join or be a part of or at least watch that would enable you to be able to grow in material capital. And then finally, determine how you will acquire more material capital. Will you be getting it through borrowing or buying or building or bartering? You know, what is your means by which you are going to acquire more capital, more material capital? And then be about doing that. Now, I want to just say a few final words about this material capital. One of the blessings about material capital is that it is something that can be passed on from one generation to the next. And so, you know, as we talk about on Legacy Podcast, the importance of being able to leave a legacy, to build a legacy now that then can be passed on from generation to generation. One of the ways that you can do that is by having material capital. And I know that sometimes material capital, such as tools and things like that, do not get passed down very often. But I know that there are things like gun collections and other items that are of great value that can mean a lot emotionally because they were owned by a previous generation and used by a previous generation. But they can also become very practically a good resource that could be passed on from one generation to the next. And so it's important for us, if we are going to be able to leave a legacy, to be able to know how and why and in what way we are going to build a greater amount of material capital into our lives and then maintain that material capital or expand it into other resources, whatever it might be, so that we can then grow that even for the generations to come. And with that, this has been Steve Donahue with the Legacy Podcast. helping you build a multi-generational legacy of abundance. What will you do today to build your legacy?